C1B3.
Number 1B.
I have already indicated that the platform is built up or laid out, that perhaps a better expression, laid out in the four. What is the four? Well, we have seen that it is the symbol of the city four square. And Mrs. Eddy says of that city four square, it is indeed a city of the spirit. I want to accentuate that it is a city of the spirit, fair, royal, and square. And because it is a city of spirit, he goes on and shows there was no temple, that is, no material structure in which to worship God, for he must be worshipped in spirit and in love. So in that city of spirit, there is no material structure. There is no body therein, no temple or body therein. In that city of spirit, we are not reckoning with the belief that there could be matter. We are only reckoning with spiritual ideas and nothing else. And that's pure. It is pure, he says, fair, royal, and square. So that we see here, and this is a great point I want to bring out, that if we are reasoning along the platform, we are reasoning from the standpoint of God, spirit, in which there is no consciousness of matter, of body, of material structure, but only spiritual ideas. And if we can keep that tonality, that pedal note, then we are really in a position to see what this platform really means. So we can ask ourselves, what terminology does Mrs. Eddy use when she does not always want to repeat word Christ, Christianity, and science? And she calls this operational sense a calculus. In miscellaneous writing, she says, Christian science is the infinite calculus, defining the line, plane, space, and fourth dimension of spirit. So she understands under the divine infinite calculus a fourfold dimensional sense, fourfold operational sense of spirit. It isn't so, as very often this passage is interpreted, that she means here that Christian science is an infinite calculus defining the line, plane, space in a material way, and then they have to those three-dimensional, material-dimensional sense, a fourth dimension, and calls only the fourth dimension spirit. Four dimensions are spirit, each one of them. The line is spirit, plane is spirit, the space is spirit, and the fourth dimension is spirit. And this, therefore, we see that we must really consider the first side of the Holy City, the Word, the line of reasoning, the logical reasoning, the logos, the line of reasoning, as purely spiritual, that we must see that the Christ is only spirit, namely the plane. Christ is that which comes to every plane of thought as the Savior. And that the third dimension is also spiritual, namely the space is spiritual, namely the whole universe. The whole universe is spiritual. And so she indicates here that the divine infinite calculus of spirit is actually the line of spirit, the word of spirit, the plane of spirit, the Christ that comes to every plane of thought, the space of spirit, the whole universe of spiritual idea, and the fourth dimension of science, the science of spirit. Therefore, also in the platform, you will see that the term spirit is mostly used of all the synonymous terms, whereas usually mind is the term that we use mostly, or truth. But here, the dominant synonym is spirit, because he really wants to indicate, if you want to understand the platform, you cannot take into consideration anything else but spirit. There is no temple therein. There is no matter therein. There is no error therein. And in the whole platform, she will not take any notice of error, or of evil, or of disease, or of mortals. It is a pure realm of spirit, the rhythmic round of spirit, and nothing else. Why should she take in something else if nothing exists outside of God's spirit? If we take the standpoint of spirit, then there is nothing outside of that spirit. And this is the great point. I will come back and back to it because this is the main point to consider for our consciousness, that we really go out from that one standpoint spirit, and spirit just doesn't know anything else but its spiritual universe. Does God know people? No. Does God know a material earth? No. Does God know a body? No. Does God know sickness? No. Does God know our trouble? No. So why should we know it? If God doesn't need to know it, why on earth should we know it? Why on earth shouldn't we have the courage to leave the standpoint of the mortal? And after all those many years of study, the textbook takes the standpoint of God's spirit and never budge again anymore from that standpoint. Then we will get somewhere. And this is what we will see as we go through the platform. All I do today is to warm up the standpoint from which we are going to take the text tomorrow. But I want to show you something else, just to show the beauty of Mrs. Eddy's textbook, because it seems that nobody really can see the beauty of Mrs. Eddy's textbook today. Those who have been with me last year, and perhaps even those who have been with me last week when we did syllabus 3, will now understand in a beautiful way what we see as a layout of this chapter. I start like this in order to show you the layout. I have already indicated that the platform shows that fourfold calculus, that Mrs. Eddy calls those four sides the divine infinite calculus. How do we arrive at the calculus? That's another question. And Mrs. Eddy shows us how to arrive at the calculus. You only have to look at the end of the first record of creation. At the end of the first record of creation, right at the end, on the seventh day, when she finishes that record of creation, she makes that important statement, and I read it, the numerals of infinity, called 7 days, can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. These days will appear as mortality disappears, and they will reveal, they begin to reveal something, eternity, newness of life, in which all sense of error forever disappears, you don't take error anymore into account, forever disappears, and thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. Can you see the reasoning? If you leave out the garnish in it, the very nice garnish, you see what she says? She says that the numerals of infinity, we know those numerals of infinity, they are the seven, called 7 days. We know what the 7 days are. They are the sequence that flows from mind to love in the days of creation. That the numerals of infinity, called 7 days, are that which enables us to accept, that thought accepts the divine infinite calculus, showing that if we understand the divine, then understand the numerals of infinity, that they show themselves forth in the human as 7 days of creation. And as they unfold in consciousness, consciousness will accept the divine infinite calculus. So you have numerals of infinity, then their translated sense to the human, proved in the human as the 7 days of creation, and that will accept the divine infinite calculus. Now, those who have been with us know very well that the numerals of infinity mean those ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love that reflect themselves and reflect, each one of them reflects mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, so that there is a 7x7 reflection in being. What did we have last year when we considered the first part of the Signs of Being, the chapter on Signs of Being? That Mrs. Eddy in the first part presents exactly that she presents the 7x7, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and their ideas, each one reflecting mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. You remember that? Giving us a 7x7 full reflection of being. Then you remember that we had a second part in that chapter, Signs of Being. And that second part was a time sense, namely the story from Adam up to today, to the day of Christian Science and Divine Science, showing right the historical development of the spiritual idea from the Adamic dream, waking out of the Adamic dream, right through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, bringing in the present state of Christian Science, and then bringing in love, showing where we are going. And we could see that she indicates there at the point of love, divine science, what is waiting for us. In a wonderful way, those who have been with us know that. Days of grace, showing that the reality at the point of infinite reflection, as numerals of infinity, 7x7, full reflection at the point of isness, will always precipitate itself on humanity and prove itself on humanity as a record of spiritual development on the human plane as civilization. So the numerals of infinity called 7 days. The first part, the numerals of infinity, second part, the 7 days, will accept, finally, the divine infinite calculus. And you have the third part, namely the calculus, the platform, which shows now the 4x4. So that whole chapter on the science of being gives us a beautiful example of what Mrs. Eddy later on shows in the chapter on Genesis. Therefore, at this point, we can see we only really can accept the platform and the standpoint of the platform if our consciousness has been purified and drilled in the 7x7 of the synonymous term, so that our consciousness is so pure, so transparent, that no foreign element can enter anymore, so that everything is at the focal point of the reflection of spirit, and so the city four square as the city of spirit, which has no knowledge anymore of any foreign element, therefore has no more any consciousness of anything but spirit, no consciousness of mortal mind, mortal thinking, mortal opinions, no consciousness anymore of matter and body and people and the universe and the earth and the cosmos and I don't know what, no knowledge of that anymore, is then able to accept really that divine infinite counsel, is accept that rhythm of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And we'll see that if we really build up that consciousness, that we find that then thought flows very easily. Another point about the platform. She said, as I indicated in the introductory paragraph, that when the following platform is understood, that then divine metaphysics will be proved infallibly. And it is understood. And it is interesting to see that the question of understanding is a question that is dealt with very subtly, very delicately, very delicate, because he will not use the term understanding until the end of the platform. He will start out and say the individuality of spirit. We are talking about the platform giving us the calculus of spirit, that the individuality of spirit, or the infinite, is unknown. See, not understood, is unknown. And thus a knowledge of it is left, and then she gives two possibilities, is left either to human conjectures or to the revelation of divine science. So she doesn't start in right and say, you know, you have to understand that platform. She starts in and says, you know, we can't understand and we don't know really reality, the infinite individuality of spirit, but it can be revealed to you. And so she begins to reveal being through the Word and through the Christ and through Christianity, and gives that revelation without asking that you should understand it. It just says, flow with it. Just flow with that purity of thought. Flow with it. And only towards the end, she says that this should be understood, that God is mind, and this mind must be understood, giving us a beautiful sense that the understanding is something that does not come from us, that we should understand with all our effort to try to understand, but that platform would show, if you let really the calculus of being, the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science flow in your consciousness without resisting it, just letting it flow without a lot of human conjecture, without a lot of buts and whys and ifs, and let it flow, then it flows into you, and then you have that mind which is God, and then you understand it. And so only at the very end, really, she brings in, at the very end, the last 2 points that she brings in, that then we know God because we have the mind that is God. Are you willing to go along with me for a day? That's my question. Because I feel that it needs a kind of a prepared consciousness in order to be willing tomorrow to flow along the platform. Therefore, you see, what we should really do, and I really would ask you to do that. After all, you are here for the greatest subject in the world. You're not here because it has become quite fashionable to go to Max's class. Can you try as well as you can from now on until you come again tomorrow, though you have to sleep and though you have to have breakfast? Can you try to take that standpoint of spirit in your consciousness? Which means, are you willing to try? Mrs. Eddy always experimented with Christian Science, and try it out if that platform really works or doesn't work. And try out to take only the standpoint of spirit, which means, can you, until tomorrow, you come into the class, let go of everything, and I mean of everything, that is not purely spiritual or divine, that you can let go, and don't take into consideration, and don't think about anything except what God could think about. Can you leave all your problems at home, no matter how heavy they seem to be, and see that spirit does not know them? Why should you know them? That these problems are no problems. You made them. Spirit never made them. So why should you make something that spirit has not made? So leave them at home. Don't think about anything. Try to see that that universe of spirit has no temple therein. That universe of spirit has no people in it. There is no husband, children, wife, and aunts, and uncles, and so on in it. If we want to be in earnest about Christian Science, we should take her statements as they read. And they read that there is only one calculus, the calculus of spirit, which has no temple therein. Therefore, I will beg you, try as hard as you can, as consistent, that's perhaps the better word, as you can, to feel. How would you think, end quote, how would you be aware, how you be conscious, if you are God, if you are sitting on the throne of God, and only think the way, or be aware the way, to know the way God thinks? Can you do that for a few hours until tomorrow? Try to go around, and no more leave it, so that when you come tomorrow, you are already quite free from all material conceptions. And don't feel that you lose something by not thinking about your problems, not thinking about matter, not thinking about body, not thinking about people. Free yourself from it, because spirit only knows ideas, nothing else. And if we think there is something else to think about, we just fool ourselves and make a fool out of ourselves. That's all what we make. A real fool, and nobody likes to be that. But if we want to make a scientist of ourselves, we better take that standpoint here of God, of the calculus of spirit, and just be ready to flow only along what we are going to see tomorrow, along that calculus of spirit. And you will see that it frees us completely from any human or material connotation, from a human or material sense of creation, of existence, and helps us really to be in that city of spirit where there is no temple therein, no material structure therein. That's my advice, or what I can say, that I would like to give you, and try it out. So that if we meet tomorrow, we keep that tone for 2 hours, and then try it again to keep that tone until we meet again in the afternoon, then we are 2 hours together, and we will see what only one day of spiritual calculus can do to us if we are consistent in our, on our standpoint. Okay.